It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free. 347-215-7771.
Welcome into the Boston Celtics post-game show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider for audio and visual coverage of the Boston Celtics, as the Toronto Raptors proved why they are still the kings of the Atlantic Division and why the Celtics still have plenty of work to do if they want to dethrone them. They defeated the Celtics 114-106. I'm your host, Joseph Pavone. I will be joined by Bobby Manning momentarily. But, man, for the Celtics fans who are beside themselves right now and really upset with how the Celtics perform in that fourth quarter, I can't say I'm as disappointed as you think I would be. Okay. And I say that for two reasons. The biggest reason, the most obvious reason, was what DeMar DeRozan was able to do tonight. DeMar DeRozan, there wasn't a guy anywhere close to defending him or keeping up with him, as he was able to just rattle off points in that second half. He finished with 41 points in this one, and he was certainly the guy of the game, the man of the night, as he was able to put away the Celtics pretty much single-handedly. I mean, they were throwing every single defender they could to try and slow him down, but nothing could do it, as the Celtics saw a 23-6 run in the final 6 minutes. And this is when the Celtics had a 7-point lead against the Raptors. It was the 6-minute mark. The Celtics had a 7-point lead. They were really – their offense was the best that we've seen the entire night. The third quarter, they certainly – that was the peak of their offense. They really found their momentum as they were able to build on a 16-point lead. 16-point lead. Now, both teams, they really found their offensive momentum in the second half, but the Celtics found their momentum right before halftime. And who was the guy off the bench – who was the thorn in Toronto's side in the second quarter? Because it's hard to predict night in and night out which bench player is going to lead this Celtics team. But who was it this time? And of course, especially with Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, who was starting for Avery Bradley, of course. But who was it this time, you may ask yourself, if you didn't watch the game tonight? It was Gerald Green. Gerald Green scored 9 points in 7 minutes towards the end of the second quarter, and he helped the Celtics take a 9-point lead into halftime. Just enough space for the Celtics to come into the second half and build what will become a 16-point lead. But you knew at some point Toronto wasn't going to go away that early, or that easily, I should say, right? You knew DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry was going to make it a game again. Well, tonight, it was DeMar DeRozan. He scored 19 points in the third quarter. He pulled the Raptors to within 4 points before the fourth quarter. So you knew we were going to be in for an entertaining fourth quarter, right? You knew that this fourth quarter was going to be one that was going to come down to the wire, but it didn't, okay, because DeMar DeRozan did not stop there. He finished with 41 points, really gave it to the Celtics, and showed why him and the Raptors are still right there, right beneath Cleveland, have enough distance away from the Celtics as the two of the top three teams in the Eastern Conference battled out tonight, and Toronto proved why they are certainly ahead of the Celtics in terms of being one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. But guys, of course, this is the CLNS Celtics post-game show, so we want to hear from you. We want to hear your take. We want to hear you vent, and that's the way we're going to get through this. That's the way we're going to break down this loss and talk about exactly what went wrong here. And that's all we can do, right? I mean, we look at the Celtics team, and we're trying to see what went wrong, why the Toronto Raptors were able to pull away so easily and so quickly as they did in those last 6 minutes. And we're going to break it down. We need your phone calls as well. It's 347-215-7771. Again, that's 347-215-7771. Bobby Manning, I bring you in because you really had me cracking up over here on Twitter as you were going back and forth in terms of, you know, being really excited and being very disappointed and then being excited and then being disappointed. I need to hear your knee-jerk reaction from this one, and give me your take coming out of this loss for the Celtics.
I thought it could have been a turning point tonight for the Celtics. You said it best. The Raptors are sort of in their own league right there at that 2 seed. A step behind the Cavaliers, not quite on Cleveland's level just yet. But exactly where the Raptors are with the Cavaliers, it seems like the Celtics are with the Raptors. It's been about 2 years now, I feel like, since they've gotten a really quality win over this team. And Tonight I thought could have been the night. I know Avery Bradley's out. I know that's a thing a lot of people are going to be talking about. But what we saw on Saturday between Isaiah and Marcus Smart really had me feeling confident still going into this game, because Smart's able to pick up Isaiah on the defensive end. And the way he's been setting up the offense lately, you can't complain, even though Bradley's one of the best shot makers on the team. But I was very excited tonight. I know Sean Grandy, I was listening in the first quarter on the radio, called it one of the Celtics' biggest January games in 5 years, maybe. And when you really start to get down to it, this was the biggest game for the Celtics outside of the playoffs, maybe in a long time, maybe during this whole Brad Stevens run, because I thought it could have finally got up to that two seed notch with the Raptors. And for most of the night, like you said, 16-point lead, great play across the board. I thought Isaiah Thomas was tremendous right up until the end of that fourth quarter. Al Horford, great game right up until the fourth quarter. Gerald Green, what they got out of him tonight was stupendous. It looked like Brad Stevens was going to ride him the whole way, the way he was playing. And then, most importantly, it was a great night from Kelly Olynyk. I thought Kelly Olynyk's help defense in the paint really kept the Raptors off the Celtics' butts for most of the night. And his offense was stupendous. He was finding open spaces. There were a lot of possessions where I thought they didn't find Olynyk quick enough to get a nice open shot. He was getting open offensively all night long. 6-10 shooting night. I thought the Celtics got so many great performances across the board tonight. And to see it fall short because they couldn't harden themselves defensively down the stretch of the fourth quarter is just so disappointing. And the fact that the game was over with 30 seconds to go, it was just such a rush. And I was going back and forth, excitement, disappointment. And it feels like one of those Thunder games all over again. The Celtics were in complete control, and then it goes right out the window again in the final moment. So I am very disappointed tonight. Could have been a turning point for the Celtics, and it seems like they're going to stay on the heels of the Raptors for a little while longer now.
This is the Celtics post-game show. Our opening segment is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And the great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all top job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter. You can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the first person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time to try to get it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Isaiah Thomas finished with 27 points. He led the way for the Celtics. Marcus Smart had himself a great game too as well. He chipped in 16 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and 4 steals. He was certainly getting it done on the defensive end. Al Horford finished with 14 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. He also had himself a good game. And I love the fact that you bring up Kelly Olynyk, because we'll get to him in 1 second. Kelly Olynyk put together a great game for Kelly Olynyk. And I don't mean to sell him short by saying that, but he definitely was someone that I thought got chipped out of some close calls. Okay, there was 2 calls in particular against DeMar DeRozan. I thought he did a really good job of clogging that lane, and DeMar DeRozan got to the free throw line both times. And I think a lot of that had to do with the momentum shift, and I think the referees are just going to give that call to DeMar DeRozan instead of giving it to Kelly Olynyk. Or even better yet, you know what? How about you just don't make a call, right? But, of course, they made the call on Kelly Olynyk. He's a guy who has a reputation, or we've seen in the past, who creates a lot of fouls in the paint. But tonight Kelly Olynyk looked phenomenal, I thought, on the defensive end. He finished with 13 points. Him and Gerald Green certainly got things going off the bench as they led for 36 Celtics bench points in this one. But it wasn't enough to counter what DeMar DeRozan was able to do in that fourth quarter. And he wasn't the only one. Kyle Lowry also chipped in 24 points. I thought Valanciunas was doing whatever he wanted in the paint. He had 18 points, and no, this isn't a typo. I refreshed my page about 3 times before the show started. He had 23 rebounds. 23.
11 offensively.
Rebounds. 11 offensive boards. Okay, so think about that for a second. I know that that makes you wonder. Okay, if he had 23, how many rebounds did the Raptors out-rebound the Celtics? Bobby? Oh, actually, you know what? You already know because you probably have a box score in front of you. But let me just tell the listeners out there. It was a lot, okay? The Raptors pulled down 50 rebounds, and the Celtics pulled down 33. That's a big difference, and that was certainly a momentum changer. But you wouldn't believe the difference the game was when there was 6 minutes left. I mean, the Celtics were up by 7 points with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And I know 6 minutes is a lifetime in basketball, but the way DeMar DeRozan was able to go off, I just felt like the Celtics didn't have any answers. And when they turned to Isaiah Thomas, he came up short. I mean, he did the best he could. I thought that he had some good looks. There was one play in particular where I thought that he could have dished it out. He was surrounded by three guys in blue jerseys, those weird baby blue jerseys that they had on tonight. And he decided to go for like a reverse layup that was just easy for Valanciunas to swat. And I just think those last few minutes when they kept going to Isaiah Thomas for buckets, that was just easy for the Raptors to get going momentum-wise and get going offensively. But we'll be back to
Joe
break this down.
Joe Frey and Bobby, I don't want to cut you guys off, but let's not forget that DeMar DeRozan also had 13 rebounds himself, and that's not typical for a shooting guy to have 13 rebounds.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, that is not typical. I mean, someone has to box this guy out. But you know what? On the other side, we'll get into that. We'll also get into what the Celtics did defensively, because there was one matchup in particular that I did not like, and I felt like there was a big reason why DeMar DeRozan was able to get to the rim as many times as he did in that second half. We'll get into that right when we get back. This is the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider for audio and visual coverage for the Boston Celtics.
The first segment of today's Celtics postgame show is powered by ZipRecruiter. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates anymore. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all of the job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter. Jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200 plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. Find candidates in any city or industry or nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast and the first time. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses, and you can find out for free because you're a listener of the Celtics postgame show. Post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions, or even casual affairs. little bit more about Movement watches. They start at $95. I purchased the chrome gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
Bang.
Welcome back to the Boston Celtics Post Game Show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and visual coverage for the Boston Celtics. Recapping the Celtics' loss to the Raptors, 114-106 up north in Canada, the Toronto Raptors, or I should say DeMar DeRozan and the Toronto Raptors, took care of business in the fourth quarter, managed to outscore the Celtics 34-22, and there was just nothing going for the Celtics in those last few minutes as the Raptors got out to a huge run that just made a difference tonight, and that was all she wrote. 23-6 run with 6 minutes left put the Celtics away at ease as the Raptors were able to roll on and get this victory. But let's jump to the phone lines, and that's brought to you by Movement Watches. The Movement Watches call lines, if you want to join, of course, is 347-215-7771. Again, the number to reach us at is 347-215-7771. The phone lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. While department store watches start at $400 to $500, the good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out and are passing that savings directly to you. Movement Watches are slick, fashionable, and most importantly, affordable, starting at just $95. Go to mbmtwatches.com/Celticsbeat for 15% off your first order with free shipping. That's mbmtwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Starting things off here on the Celtics post-game show is Louis in the Bronx, who wants to talk about Al Horford. What's up, Louis?
Yes, guys. During the offseason in the summer, the Celtics signed Al Horford to a big contract. And games like this is where Al has to show up. I mean, you can't have him have 11 shots. And he's got to get the job done in a game like this. That's what they got him for.
Well, I feel like Al Horford was trying to get things going in the paint. But the Toronto Raptors, you know, you got to give them credit for what they're able to do defensively down low. And Horford was inconsistent throughout the game, especially in the second half. He did hit a couple three-pointers in that first half. He had a couple buckets going later on, but that was pretty much it. I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, to only attempt 11 points or 11 field goals in a game where you didn't have Avery Bradley was a little disappointing. Yeah. I agree with
that.
All right,
thank you, Bobby. Hey, I'm going to agree with the Horford take right there. In the fourth quarter, he really has to be the man for this team, especially in a game like this.
Yeah,
in a game like this where you think he's going to be a guy who's going to bring you up to the Raptors level after the Raptors destroyed us all last season, and he was nowhere to be found. His face-up game was totally thrown off by Valanciunas. And every time I watch Valanciunas against this team, he's underrated. I'm not sure how great of a defender he is skill-wise, but he uses his size to his advantage, and he really throws people off coming to the paint. You rarely see Isaiah Thomas going to the rim, getting blocked twice in a row, and he was able to do that quarter there. So I think Valanciunas really had his way with Horford. And I'm going to link this right back to the rebounding that we were talking about before the break. Horford, you know, legitimately so, you should expect a little more rebounding out of him. But at the same time, the fact that he's the biggest guy on the court for them a lot of the time really is a knock on the way this team is built still. I really don't think it's too hard for them to go out and get a rebounder. When you break down some of the rebounding stats, and they lost again 50-33 in that area tonight, it's astounding. I mean, they routinely lose rebounding battles night in and night out. I think over their last 10 games, the only time they won the rebounding battle was against New Orleans and the 76ers on Friday and Saturday. And it was a problem again tonight. And, you know, talk about Horford all you want in that category, but he's doing the best he can with the size around him. And Olynyk's giving you nothing there. Johnson's giving you little to nothing there. Jarepko's giving you little to nothing there. They really need to go out and get a guy to help them on the boards because it's killing them. They're winning games in spite of their rebounding, and it's really pulling them from behind every single night. And Horford's part of the problem. I think he needs to step it up a little bit in that area. But at the same time, you need to put someone out on the court next to him who's going to help him out a little bit.
Right. Well, when the Celtics signed Horford, I mean, no one really expected Horford to come in here and start grabbing 10 or 11 rebounds a night. I mean, 9 rebounds is pretty much – that's what you're going to get night in and night out from Al Horford, if that. I think the biggest reason why the Celtics haven't gone out and gotten that big rebound is because they've proven that they can win games without – killing teams on the glass. Now, I get what you're saying. They very rarely.
They make it hard on themselves, though. They
right,
really
but they very rarely win the rebounding battle. In this stretch, in this four game winning streak, they were able to not only maybe they didn't win the rebounding battle, but it was only by a small margin. You know, a lot of these teams were coming in here and they're out rebounding the Celtics by 4, 5, 6 boards. And for the Celtics, that's certainly an improvement. And I think that a lot of it has to do with effort. I think Brad Stevens believes that these guys can rebound it if they just put more effort to it. And I think that has a lot to do with Danny Ainge not going out and grabbing a rebounder. Because if Brad Stevens were to go to Danny Ainge and say, look, I'm getting all I can get out of these guys. They don't want to grab boards. I don't know what else to do. Then I think that's when you'll see a move like that happen. But I think Brad Stevens is very adamant on the fact that this team can rebound if they put more effort to it. And that's just not something we saw tonight against the Raptors. Let's jump back to the phone lines and talk to Blake, who's in Australia, and wants to talk about what happened in that fourth quarter when the Raptors took over. What's up, Blake?
Hey, guys. What a tough one.
Yes. It was a tough one,
brutal.
Blake. And I love the fact that you're calling from Australia to talk about this because I want to hear your take on this one. What do you think? What went wrong in that fourth quarter?
So the fourth quarter, I think what made us – from quarter one to quarter three, why we looked so good, the ball movement and Marcus Smart was playing majority of point guard. And then I think you get to the fourth quarter and he's not getting the ball in his hand, even though he had a pretty shocking fourth quarter. And then it kind of reminded me of the Cavs series 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, the thing about Marcus Smart, though, he was doing a really good job of being a facilitator. I thought he was very, very persistent. He did have a few turnovers. One of them came in the second half at a crucial point in the game. But for the most part, I think that he had himself a pretty good game. I think the biggest problem in that fourth quarter was that they just didn't have another guy who could just score buckets on a consistent level. Isaiah Thomas was making a few points. I mean, I love the fact that Brad Stevens did something that we rarely see from Brad Stevens, and that's give Isaiah Thomas extended minutes. Okay, this is Isaiah Thomas, who's not only the leader of your team, the go-to guy. He's averaging 33.7 minutes a night. Okay, he's 40th in the league in minutes per game. And I love the fact that Brad Stevens was going to him more than he usually does. He only clocked in 36 minutes, but there was a point in the beginning of the fourth quarter where he saw that he needed to insert Isaiah Thomas. And the first thing Isaiah Thomas did was go to the hoop and get himself to the free throw line. And that was something that he tried to do over and over again, but the Toronto Raptors defense just collapsed on him. He was unable to get going on a consistent level.
Yeah, it just felt like that playoff defense was just going to lock into him a little bit more than they would normally do a regular season night. And it just felt that the shots that we're used to seeing him drive in that space, it just seemed to collapse in on him.
Right. Again, they just needed another guy to step in and get buckets. It looked like for a little bit, I mean, it's like, don't look now, but maybe Gerald Green could be that guy. But without Avery Bradley and with Jay Crowder just not having a great shooting night, I mean, he had a few buckets, but he was very timid in this one. And it wasn't only until they really needed him to get going, you know, he started to shoot a couple threes there, but they just weren't falling. I mean, he went 1 for 5. He was 4 for 10 overall on the floor. There was just no one else on the floor where the Celtics could get some more offense from. And Al Horford, I mean, that's a great point that Bobby brings up, or I should say the caller before Blake. I mean, I would like to just see more attempts from Al Horford. You know, I would like to see not only him get in the paint, but give, you know, try to find your offense. You know, try to add something onto this to stop the bleeding by the Raptors. And he was 2 for 4. You know, 2 for 4. He attempted 4 shots in that fourth quarter. I thought that that's something that we see from Horford. You know, he can certainly fall back and sort of try to do everything but score or
you know,
but get into the momentum, and that just wasn't the case.
There was one play down the stretch, and I really can't – I think if I mention it, I don't remember exactly where it was, but Horford had a nice face-up going to the rim, was in a decent position to score, and he turned the ball over. It looked like he was going to his left hand to try and maybe kick it out to the left or right of him, and he just completely lost control of the ball because he was trying to pass rather than just going straight up on Valanciunas. Mm-hmm. It's almost like an Olynyk-type thing where he is just such a willing passer that it digs into his offense at certain times. I mean, in a game like this, especially without Avery Bradley, which is amazing that you're talking about Bradley's offense being absent more than his defense in a game like this, but there's not a lot of great shooters on this team. So when maybe your best in Avery Bradley is gone, you know, you have to say to Al Horford, we need more shot attempts out of you. You're a knockdown shooter, more post-up attempts, more, you know, breakouts to the three-point line. 11 shots out of him tonight just isn't enough. I mean, as many as Marcus Smart, and that's another story entirely when Smart's just throwing up shots. But, you know, we know what to expect out of Al Horford. It almost seems meaningless to talk about this, but just a few more shot attempts would make such a big difference. I mean, he's a skilled scorer, and I know the offense is built around the three-point line, but whenever they get the ball down on the low post to Horford, magic happens down there. I absolutely love when they sprinkle that in, and I almost wish they do it a little bit more. It looks like Horford can beat almost anyone one-on-one down there in the low block. The offense, the pure skilled offense of Al Horford is something they've lost for stretches throughout these games, and it stinks to see because he can do so much for you if he's trying to score the ball.
I feel like we saw more of that in the first half, though, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like Al Horford needs to be a bit more of a bad guy. He needs to be a bit more of an arsehole.
he needs some of that.
Hey, Joe, yeah, bring like, Bobby real quick, because Bobby brought something up that I wanted. This is Nick behind the glass. I just wanted to jump in real quick because Bobby brought something up about Al Horford on the low block. And Al Horford can certainly score from the low block, and we've seen that before. But he's, like Bobby said, he's such a willing passer, and he almost doesn't seem to want to play down on the low block. We know before the season started and early in the season, he used to say he was vocally open about wanting to play power forward, wanting to play that stretch four position, more stretch four, and not as much down low, and wanting to have a big man to play next to. And when I was screening Blake in the call-in lines before he got on the phone lines, he mentioned something about a player that I've been personally lobbying the Celtics to go after. They looked at before the season, a couple of seasons ago, before last season, they were going to bring him in for a tryout, and it never materialized because the Milwaukee Bucks ended up offering him a max contract of $17 million a year. And I think that if you want a post presence, Greg Monroe is right there and can be had for literally almost nothing. And Blake mentioned something in the screening room, and I wanted to see what Blake thought about possibly bringing in, or the Celtics possibly taking another look at Greg Monroe as being that rebounding low post big man presence.
I'm going to say this real quick.
You guys?
You know, with the comments from Horford saying he wants to play that power forward spot and they want to be out on the perimeter and that's where he's comfortable, that's what boggles my mind even more, that they don't have a better player down the middle with him. And I'm not sure who it is. Maybe it's Andrew Bogut. Maybe it's Paul Millsaps. Yeah, your guy right there. I've never been a big Monroe guy, but if that's someone they can bring in and keep Horford at the four where he's comfortable, where he can make plays, I mean, how can you have your player saying that that's where he wants to be and keep him so stuck in between? Because he has been playing power forward all year long, but, like, in our minds it's not really, because they're just cycling in guys next to him over and over again, and he pretty much has to fulfill those inside duties. It's the spot next to Al Horford has been such a weak spot on this team. And I'll give Olynyk a lot of credit. He's been much better of late, but even Olynyk at his best doesn't solve the problems that they're facing next to Al Horford. And, you know, Al Horford's fantastic. He brings the team up to another whole level with his skill set, but at the same time, you can't have absolutely nothing next to him. And that's really what I feel like they have right now, and it's frustrating to watch.
Hey, Blake, we appreciate you calling in, man. Feel free. Oh, go ahead. What's that?
I was just going to say about Greg Monroe.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if we're gonna make a small trade and not make that big one, I think it's good for Greg Monroe. He's low risk, he's high reward. If it doesn't work out, then he's not gonna really hurt us, and we don't really have to give too much to get him. And I think all the other players, you know, like in New Orleans, Noel, I think we might have to give up too much, and then he might not work out. So I think low risk, high reward. Give it a shot.
All right, Blake, we appreciate you checking in, man. Feel free to call in anytime, man. All the way from Australia, man. We appreciate you showing love.
Have a good one, boys.
All right, you too, Blake.
Thank you.
347-215-7771 if you want to join the lines. Again, that's 347-215-7771. Fellas, I can't lie here, man. I'm not crazy about Greg Monroe. I don't know. I'm just not. Wouldn't it be a rental? I mean, this is a guy who's going to be a free agent in the summer. I mean, if the Celtics give up, if they don't give up a whole lot, they at least they have him to make this playoff run. But come summertime, you're going to have to pay this guy. I mean, this guy's already making $17 million. You know, I get that the Celtics need a rebounder. I understand that they need someone to protect the rim. But for that cost and for what they may have to give up, I'm not so crazy about it. And I don't think that was the biggest reason why the Celtics lost this game. Now, before we got into the commercial break, I wanted to mention the fact that I didn't like the way Brad Stevens sort of his defensive scheme in this one against the Raptors. I thought that he needed someone to stay in front of DeRozan. And I felt like he instead challenged DeRozan to come to the hoop. And that was a big, big mistake. Jay Crowder, that is someone I want to see on DeRozan in his face, forcing him to take jump shots. You saw some of that in the first half, but in the second half, it was sort of like they were letting him come into the paint and relying on his bigs to bang him up and touch him up. And all that did was send him to the free throw line. That's all that did, and especially in the second half. Again and again and again, going to the free throw line, going to the free throw line, grabbing rebounds over these guys. Why didn't we see Jay Crowder in his face? I love the fact that Brian Scalabrine brought it up during the telecast. He's saying, you got to treat this guy like he's LeBron James. You have to treat this guy like he's Kevin Durant. He's their go-to scorer. He is going off. He just scored 19 points in the third quarter. I think you need to change your defensive schemes. And I didn't see Brad Stevens do that. I saw Kyle Lowry come back into the game and the Celtics start to separate themselves again. But what happened when DeRozan came back into the game? He went off. He went off against the Celtics, scores 41 points, and led the way in that last 6 minutes and put the Celtics to bed before the final minute of the game.
Yeah, and I think I saw Sean Grandy tweet. It was only the sixth player to score 40 points against the Celtics over the last 10 years. So that was how special of a night it was for DeRozan tonight. And it really was. You could see it right at the end of the third quarter there where Toronto went on about an 8-0 run that really got them back into the game going into the fourth. He just started putting his head down and charging toward the rim with everything he had. So ferocious. And I think you saw my tweet earlier, Joe Sway. I said, whenever you watch this guy, it feels like what it must be like being on the other side watching Isaiah Thomas.
Watching Isaiah Thomas, that was a great call.
They mirror each other so well, the way they get to the basket, find open mid-rangers for themselves, get to the free throw line, power through bigger bodies. And DeRozan's just a little bigger, and it brings him just up to another echelon. And I don't think he gets enough credit for being one of the better players overall in the league. When you can score at that high of a rate, putting the ball in the bucket's the name of the game, and he does it about as good as anybody else. And he absolutely crushed them tonight. And it was a good point. I think where the Raptors really kill the Celtics is that they have two outstanding scoring guards. So whereas a lot of teams you can hide Isaiah Thomas on the lesser of the two scoring guards, there's no way to put Isaiah Thomas against those two guys. Lowry's going to kill you. DeRozan's going to kill you. And that makes me question, too, why isn't Jay Crowder helping out on some of those guys? Jay King pointed out he was camped out on Damari Carroll for most of the game. And Damari Carroll's a fantastic player, someone you have to attest to, especially out on the perimeter. But, you know, they needed Jay Crowder for spot possessions, I think, switching on to one of those two guys, and he didn't see it at all. And that's where Jay Crowder's been for most of the season. It's very perplexing, is out on these perimeter guys playing sort of a secondary defensive role. Whereas last year, he was covering forwards a lot of and that's how versatile and impactful he was on the defensive end. So I agree with you there, Joe Sway. I think they miss Jay Crowder's defense tonight. Whether he was capable or not is a good question because we really haven't seen Jay Crowder take over a game defensively often this year. And it's something I really miss. I felt it was something special that the Celtics had. All these defenders and then Jay Crowder on top of that to use in a versatile role. But he's been chasing guys on the perimeter for most of the year, feels like, just out of the main battles of the game.
I think the New York game was the only time we really saw him play someone really tightly. I mean, we saw him do that against Durant, but, I mean, it was Klay Thompson who went off in that matchup against the Celtics. And then we saw him do it again against the Cavaliers in the second time. But, I mean, LeBron James wasn't the only one that went off. I mean, all three of their big three went off in that game, and that was the difference. Tonight, I didn't see him in front of DeRozan as much as I would like him. You know, there was the one play where he got caught in the switch. Isaiah Thomas ends up on him, fade away over Isaiah Thomas with ease, puts the Raptors up by four. That was under 3 minutes left. Next Raptors possession, Crowder gets caught in the switch, but by that point it was too little too late. Soon as Crowder comes over to DeRozan, he pushes him down, or I should say backs him down with one push with his back, fade away, another jump shot. 41 points right there. That was his last bucket of the game. Raptors went up 110-104, and that was all she wrote. It was 1 minute left, and at that point, it was all Raptors, and they took care of business against the Celtics. And in 114-106 win at Toronto, we have one more segment here in the Celtics postgame show, so jump on the phone lines while you can at 347-215-7771. We'll be right back with the final segment. This is Joseph Pavone, Bobby Manning. This is the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients are created equal. So fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make the real difference, and that's why Blue Apron is so good. Blue Apron will send you meals to your house for less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or just heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best right to your door. You don't even have to go out to the grocery store. It's cold outside now. You don't have to go out and be cold. You can stay inside forever and just cook Blue Apron. They have new recipes weekly, and they're not even repeated within a year. So you make one, you don't have to do it again. It makes it's fresh every single time. It's new every single time. You have your own little restaurant in your kitchen. You can customize your recipe each week based on your preferences. I don't like fish that much, so I'm able to customize this so that I don't get fish options. I actually got a masala spice chicken dish. I love chicken tikka masala. This is perfect. It came with a kale and lime rice side, so I kind of got a little bit of everything, got a balanced nutritional meal. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create this incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron. As someone who does not cook very well and struggles with toast bagel bites, I am actually cooking meals and I'm actually doing it pretty well, and it's an amazing experience, and it's actually really good food. So you'll love Blue Apron. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Back with one final segment. This is the Boston Celtics Post Game Show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider for audio and visual coverage for the Boston Celtics. I am Joseph Pavone, Bobby Manning on hand. The Celtics fall to the Raptors 114-106 as DeMar DeRozan scored 31 second-half points. Kyle Lowry chipped in 24. Isaiah Thomas led the way for the Celtics with 27. But it all came down to a huge run in the fourth quarter where the Raptors were able to take care of the Celtics and prove why they are still the king of the Atlantic Division. We're going to jump right to the phone lines here. We have Miguel, who's in Toronto. He's on hold and wants to talk about Al Horford being invisible in the fourth quarter. What's up, Miguel? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm all right, Miguel. I'm not too upset about this Celtics game, believe it or not, but I didn't think the Celtics have a lot of work to do.
We're still in January, man. You know,
Exactly.
Acting like this is a playoff game. Man, we're still in January, man. Don't talk to me about the playoffs.
This is a good Toronto team, Miguel, you know? This is a really good team. People need to remember that.
So, I was telling your guy off the air, you know, the real problem, I think, with the Celtics is in a game like this, you need another guy, okay? You've got Isaiah Thomas,
agreed,
who scores 27 points tonight. He's doing all the heavy lifting in the fourth quarter. You need another guy to help him. You know, this team's going to struggle with good teams, especially in the playoffs, if there's no one that's able to get buckets with him. And this is the problem when you got Al Horford and you give him a max contract and he scores 14 points. I think at 14 ready, he had 9 rebounds. But in the fourth quarter, he's always invisible. Ever since he was with Atlanta, he's always invisible when it comes down to crunch time. And this is the problem with the Celtics are going to have, is they need Al Horford to grow some nuts in the fourth quarter. And just like your man was talking about, man, he's matched up with Valanciunas, and he's looking to pass the ball. There's no reason to pass the ball. Valanciunas is not a great defender. He should be trying to go at him every time. If the Raptors want to give him that matchup, he should be trying to go at him every time.
That play still frustrates me so much. He was in perfect position to score right there, and he just completely passed it. He didn't even get a pass out. He was looking so hard to pass it, and there was nowhere to go except score, but he didn't want to score so bad that the ball just came flying out in that situation. And there have been times this year where Horford has, you know, gotten his wide open three-pointers in the fourth quarter, nailed them all. He's open from three so much the way he comes off those picks, but the aggressiveness, I think that's what we're talking about here, getting on the ball, you know, being willing to take those big shots, really command the ball in those situations. I think we need just a little more of that from Horford. And it's a legitimate call from him. It just isn't who he is, so sometimes I just feel stupid talking about it. I mean, he's such a great passer and all-around player offensively. He's going to do a lot of different things well for the Celtics on the offense. But there are times, especially in the fourth quarter, where he should just command the ball because he can do it. And the reason we're talking about this is because he can do it. He can take Valanciunas one-on-one on a face-up. He can post these guys up on the low block. He has so many skills when it comes to scoring. And, you know, it's not going to change. I don't feel great about talking about it because of that. He is who he is as a player. But they do need another guy. I think that other guy is Bradley, theoretically. great shot maker who they were missing tonight. But, you know, they need someone else next to Horford, I think. That's something I'm still going to stick with. They need a four or a five, rather, next to Horford.
Yeah,
so Nick,
Miguel, I have a question for you since you mentioned somebody.
Yeah, he wants
was,
to chime in. What's up, Nick?
Yeah.
Well, my
yeah,
bad. I mean
to
cut you off.
I want to say something else. No,
wait.
It's okay, man. Sorry. Is yo, that guy from Australia talking about Greg Monroe, man, you guys are wilding, man. You guys don't want Monroe, okay?
Hey,
I'm crazy
about
it.
Next guy.
He'll give you a couple buckets, man, but he's worse than Valanciunas on the defensive end, man. He's going to be giving up as much as he gets you. I think there's
hold
a
on now. Let me just say this real quick. I want to run the stats down. Greg Monroe is coming off the bench for the Milwaukee Bucks, so he only plays about 19 minutes a game, and he still averages one steal a game. He's averaging about 10 points, 8 rebounds, maybe about an assist and a half, 2 assists, and one steal a game. If you expand that out to per 36, because that's a good metric on how to gauge players that play different amounts of playing time. Greg Monroe doesn't play that much, doesn't have that much playing time, doesn't see the court that much. If you expand his stats out to per 36, which is the standard metric of, you know, players that play a certain amount of time, he averages close to 18 points a game, close to 13 rebounds a game, almost 4 assists and 2.5 steals and a block. He's a very underrated defender. He doesn't defend the rim that well, but he's great at denying the entry pass on defense, which is how he gets those steals, by poking away the entry pass or poking away players that try to post them up on the block. And offensively, he has an arsenal of low post moves and fantastic footwork that he could be the true five next to the, for some reason, uncertain and unwilling Al Horford that just doesn't want to play on the low block, that doesn't want to play down there, and is looking to pass every time he gets the ball in the paint. Just wanted to throw that out there. Miguel, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that, though.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with the offensive numbers. He's been a good offensive player who can get buckets. But I don't know. I've watched him since the Piston days. I think there's a reason he went from a starter in Detroit now at the bench. Because I think Jason Kidd and that coaching staff knows this guy gives up buckets, man. He is just not a good defender. He's a low IQ defender. And you're posting, what did you say, the per 36 numbers? Yeah, but per 36 numbers for certain players isn't really a good stat, because we know if you play Monroe 40 minutes a night, he's going to give up a ton of points.
Well,
just one more stat for
you,
Miguel. Just one more stat for you, Miguel. His defensive rating is fifth in the league, tied with Hassan Whiteside, giving up 98 points per 100 possession. That's fifth in the league. He's an underrated defender because he doesn't block that many shots for a guy that's 6'10" or 6'11", but he is an underrated defender. He's in the right place. I just don't think Jason Kidd is that great of a coach, and in Detroit he got booted out because he was playing behind Andre Drummond, and Andre Drummond is clearly a superior player on both, on at least the defensive end of the player on the of the court and rebounding. But it's not Greg Monroe's fault that the league is moving to this small ball, everybody wants to copy Golden State Warriors, and nobody wants a 6'11" guy that just camps out in the paint and plays the paint all day on offense, when they want someone that's going to shoot threes from all five positions. That's just my opinion, and I think Greg Monroe gets a bad rap when people judge his game based on what coaches do. When has Jason Kidd ever been a winning coach? I'd just like to know that much.
All right, well, let me ask you this, Miguel.
Well, I think the situation's well. Look, I agree with you. It's not Monroe's fault that the game is changing, but I think Detroit was willing to let him go because of his defensive deficiencies. I mean, if he's fifth in defensive rating, I don't have the numbers in front of me. If you say he's fifth, okay, he's fifth. But, I mean, I know from the eye test, I've watched him for many years, he's not a great defender. And
that's fair.
You can let a big man who can score that doesn't defend well, you can let those guys move on. Those guys move around a lot. I don't think he's the answer to go along in Horford. I think a guy like Horford.
Who do you think is the answer? I'd like to ask that question.
Horford, who's an undersized guy, I think you'd want Horford.
All right, well, hold on.
Let me ask you this.
Can this team beat the Raptors as currently constituted? Or is this team just making – they just need to make a few adjustments to defeat the Raptors? Or do they really need to go out and get another guy? Because in my opinion, they just need to make adjustments. That's what I think.
Oh, you know, I think they need to make a move. But you know, I think they should be making
Raptors,
a move
though?
To try to beat Cleveland, not the Raptors. You know,
exactly.
I mean,
that's my point here. I don't think not having Greg Monroe is the reason why they lost this game. I mean, I think the Celtics team can beat the Raptors, but they're just not there yet. I think this team is talented enough to beat
like
the Raptors.
Said, they're missing Avery Bradley tonight, who could have made a difference on DeRozan. I don't think Monroe is the difference. So I'm just saying if you want to go out and get a big to play the five next to Horford, I think you want more of a defensive-minded guy. That's what I'm saying.
What do you think about Andrew Bogut?
I think what's getting –
You know
I
what?
Think
I think the Celtics – I was thinking this just now – should have, instead of throwing the max at Horford, maybe should have went out and take a look at Whiteside in the offseason. And I hear Whiteside is actually might be available.
Yeah. See, the thing about Whiteside, I mean, if you don't like how much money Horford is getting, you're really not going to like how much money Whiteside would have gotten.
I don't like what Horford does. I like what Whiteside does. He is a true rim protector.
That's
true,
but
I mean,
I think Horford
Raptors...
fits his team better than Whiteside would, honestly.
Pardon me?
If you're talking on the offensive end.
You know, his numbers look pretty good to me, but just in terms
you
of being
a – You can have both.
Well,
you can have both.
I would rather pay Whiteside than make an inquiry for a guy like Monroe. I would rather pay Whiteside the max than Horford.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just don't think the Celtics team needs a max big man. I really don't. I think if you pull in someone like – I don't know. I still like Andrew Bogut. I mean, someone like that, you know, just a hard-nosed – defender who's going to defend the paint, can grab rebounds for you. Someone like, I don't know, Tyson Chandler, you know, those type of guys. I don't think the Celtics team needs a superstar big man to go over the hump. What's that?
I think Chandler's washed now, man. I don't know if you want him.
Well, no, I'm not talking about like someone like that. I'm saying that prototype. That's my point. I don't think you need to go out and get and pay max money for a big man. I think you need to just get a big man who knows his role. I'm not saying go out and get Tyson Chandler. I'm talking about that prototype, that type of guy. Nerlens Noel. These are guys who's going to go in there, defend the paint, rebound for you, do all the dirty work, and you're not going to have to pay them $30 million
a year. You're right. I would rather put together a trade for Noel than Monroe. Absolutely.
I'd rather
think
those grab him free agency, honestly.
I think the most important thing about adding a guy to fill this role we're talking about, and I think this is really why Nick's targeting in on Greg Monroe, is because you want a value guy here, something we can get for almost nothing. Or next to nothing, or maybe just not a major asset or piece that you'd want to use in a bigger trade that could help you compete with Cleveland. Because when you look at Greg Monroe, he's barely playing on Milwaukee. It seems like they've almost been begging to get rid of him for some time now. I think if ever push ever came to shove and Milwaukee's just trying to get him out of there and dump him off before that player option next year, I think that's why Nick really keys in on a guy like that. But I'll agree with Miguel. I mean, I've watched Monroe for a long time now, and the biggest issue with him is that he's slow. And when you look at the Celtics, a lot of the time they're running, they're active defensively, lots of switches, and on the defensive end, Monroe's biggest issue is his feet get stuck in the mud. He does not have great footwork on the defensive end, and that's what half the battle is. I mean, Olynyk's not a great defender, but he gets by on decent footwork about a lot of the time, being in the right position. And Monroe is the complete opposite of that. But what I will say in favor of Monroe is half the battle defensively sometimes is just getting the rebound and stopping the possession right there. Second chance points killed the Celtics again tonight. It's been killing their defense all year. I wrote about it on Celtics blog last time. They're giving up some of the most second chance points in the league. And if you can just get a guy like Monroe who snatches like 10 to 12 rebounds a game and just stops those defensive possessions in place, I think that's going to have a bigger impact than you think, Joe Sway, especially in a close game like this. If you can swing the game 6 to 8 points by cutting off some of those second chance points, I think that's massive. And obviously you don't break the bank to get a guy like Monroe to do that, or Bogut. I really love Bogut. I know Snotty Drippin and some of the guys on Twitter have kind of dug up some of those racial comments he's made in the past, and they have some issues with some of those things. But as far as just a player on the court goes, Andrew Bogut is still fantastic. If they made a move to get Bogut, who is dying to get out of Dallas right now, he just keeps making comments about how he's expecting to get traded, how he wants to get out of there. He is making it known that he wants to get out of Dallas. And for some reason, Mark Cuban still thinks, even though they're in last place in the West, they're going to make that run for the 8th seed.
He's trying to keep that promise that he told Dirk. that he would get him back into the playoffs. That's trying
Bogut
to keep that promise.
Even at this advanced stage, Bogut is averaging 10 rebounds a game, and the defensive box plus minus, which is a stat I love for rim protectors, how they defend that box area in the paint. He has a 5 right now, and to put that in perspective, 5 is the number Tim Duncan routinely put up throughout his career protecting the rim there in San Antonio. That's an elite number as far as rim protectors go. The only knock on Bogut still, injuries. He wears down as the season goes on, and he always seems to get hurt at the worst time right before the playoffs. So that's the only thing that scares me about Bogut. And I think that might be the guy that the Celtics are keeping an eye on right now, seeing how that status is going in Dallas, because he's a free agent after this year. Perfect rental. I don't think it would cost a lot, and he'd help them where they're really hurting right now.
That's the one I wouldn't mind seeing that as a rental. I really wouldn't. Miguel, we appreciate you chiming in, man. Call back anytime. We appreciate your 2 cents.
Have a good night, gentlemen.
Have a good night. Have a good night, man. All right, Bobby, any final thoughts? Enough of the big man talk. Come on. I know the Celtics team can beat the Raptors. And look, I'm not against seeing the Celtics bring in someone like Andrew Bogut. I like Andrew Bogut. I think he can really help this team. But what frustrates me about this game, or I should say what I would love to see out of the Celtics team, is just beat the Raptors the way they are. Beat this team. I mean, you have the talent to beat this team. I'm not overly disappointed with how they performed in the fourth quarter against this team because I think they're that good. I think people overlook the fact that the Toronto Raptors are one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and so are the Celtics. But I think what Toronto Raptors did tonight was reiterate the fact that they are still above the Celtics talent-wise. They're still ways above the Celtics. And at some point, you have to realize that this Celtics team is still growing. I know we're in January, but we still have plenty of basketball, and we know that throughout this four-game winning streak that the Celtics, or I should say when they won 10 out of the last 12, that this Celtics team can handle themselves against plus 500 teams. And this Celtics team is not afraid to go up against some of the best talent in the NBA and that they can hold themselves accountable when it comes to that. But when this team is missing someone like Avery Bradley, who gets it done on both ends of the floor, I would have loved to see them make a statement against the Raptors without him. That didn't happen tonight. Okay. But let's not say that this Celtics team isn't talented enough to knock off the Raptors. Let's not hit the panic button and start talking about they need to bring in a big guy, and that's the reason why they lost this game. Okay, this is the Toronto Raptors. This is a very good team, but I think the Celtics team is talented enough to defeat the Raptors. But what are your final thoughts before we get up out of here on the Celtics team and how they're going to look moving forward?
It's a thin line between them and the Raptors right now. I completely agree with you right there. These games are tight. They're competitive. But in that very end, and all that matters is the outcome, the Raptors have beat them time and time again. Looking back at the 6 matchups now they've played over the last 2 years, the Celtics are 1-5. It doesn't really matter if you're playing them close if you just can't get the win in the end. And this is a team I think they're really still trying to get over the hump with right now. Just like Toronto's trying to get over the hump with Cleveland, the Celtics are still haven't been able to get over the Raptors for this year or the year before. And, you know, maybe Avery Bradley is the difference in this game tonight. I think it didn't really end up mattering. I think the defense just capsized down the stretch there against DeRozan, and that was the reason they lost this game because, like I said to open the show, they did play fantastic for most of this game tonight and really looked like they were right up there with the Raptors. And I do think they're right up there with the Raptors. But what scares me going forward in this season, and we're hearing about it already, is a guy like Paul Millsap's available. And those guys are the same kind of pieces that the Celtics are eyeing. And if the Raptors are able to pull the trigger, make an aggressive move and get one of those guys, I think it's going to shoot them right ahead of the Celtics, maybe right up to the Cavaliers level, and then the Celtics are going to get left in the dust. And, you know, I don't love Paul Millsap. I don't think the Celtics really need to make a move on a guy like him right now, but what terrifies me is that if they don't, the Raptors are going to, and they're going to shoot right ahead of the Celtics, and the Celtics will be stuck maybe not in the middle of the East, but right behind both the Cavaliers and Raptors, and this season will look like a wash, and maybe even next season, too, if the Raptors could re-up a guy like Paul Millsap. But luckily, the latest I've heard, and as crazy as this sounds, it seems like the Raptors are more interested in re-signing Patterson than going after a guy like Millsap, so that's helping me breathe a little bit right now.
Well, I think if you look at the way he was defending tonight, he's certainly a presence in the paint, but I get what you're saying. If you're comparing him to Paul Millsap, well, Paul Millsap is way talent-wise way better than Patterson. Yeah, that's true. Well, that's the thing about the Raptors, though. They're trying to get over the hump against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they think someone like Paul Millsap can do it. They will pull the trigger on a deal to bring in Paul Millsap and try to somehow get themselves into the NBA Finals, because that's what they're looking at right now. You know, they're not looking like the Celtics right now are looking like a team that's just trying to get out of the first round, trying to take that next step, where the Raptors are starting to look at the NBA Finals and see if they can somehow put together a team to knock off the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, look, that's going to do it for our show tonight. The Celtics fall to the Toronto Raptors 114-106. I am Joseph Pavone. You can find me at Twitter. On the Causeway Street blog, the Causeway Street podcast, you can check that out also at Causeway Street on Twitter, causewaystreetblog.com, and also find me on greenstreet.weei.com for recaps and all kind of articles covering the Boston Celtics. This postgame show will be available on demand listening by searching for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Follow CLNS on social media at CLNS Radio on Twitter, and like us at Facebook/CLNS fans. Also, you can also check us out some episodes on ESPN Radio NH.com at ESPN NH on Twitter and /ESPN New Hampshire on Facebook. He is Bobby Manning. You can find him on Twitter at The Real Bobby Manning. Check out what he has to say in every single Celtics game, because he has a very talented, entertaining, I should say, also Twitter follower. So give him a follow. Today's show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Start using ZipRecruiter for free now by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Also by Blue Apron. Go to BlueApron.com/CLNS for 3 free meals and free shipping. Also, our friends at MBMT. Watches.com/Celtics Beat, where you can sign up for 15% off your first purchase with free shipping, and as well as Audible. AudiblePodcast.com. That's AudiblePodcast.com. Try now for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Music was provided by Nick Sacento behind the glass. Always does a good job. Joshua Morris. Want to thank today's caller, of course, and everyone who tuned in. We always appreciate it, guys. For CLNS Radio, executive producer Larry H. Russell, program director Justin Poulin, the founder of the network, Nick Gelso, and of course, again, my co-host Bobby Manning. I am Josue Pavone. We'll see everyone back here tomorrow night when the Celtics will head home to host the Washington Wizards and hope to get back to their winning ways, guys. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and visual coverage for the Boston Celtics, guys. Good night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Peace.